G'day punters and welcome to Winning Post's preview podcast for the weekend of Saturday, March 11, Super Saturday in Melbourne, Coolmore Classic Day in Sydney. I'm John Barker. Joining me once again is Carl Diorio. Well, Carl, the Newmarket Handicap is one of the big races, one of the big group ones this Saturday. And three-year-olds have a fairly good record in it in recent years, unlike, for example, the Lightning Stakes. Do you reckon a three-year-old will get the money?
I think so. I think a three-year-old will win. It just shapes beautifully for them, doesn't it? I mean, they don't have to carry all that much weight above the minimum. And in many cases, the three-year-olds that contest this race, they're already well-performed, they're well-credentialed, they're measured up to the top level among their own age group. So there's no query about their class, and they just seem to get thrown in. Comparatively, you got a horse like Speeth, who's an emerging type, who has gone through the grades rather quickly and really knocking on the door for his first Group 1 win, but he's only getting 1.5 kilos below the top weight and conceding way the way to Group 1 winners. So it's just a bit of the dynamic of the handicap.
All right, meanwhile in Sydney, we got through the meeting, despite our scepticism last week, got through the meeting at Randwick last Saturday. Rose Hill again looking like it might be, well, perhaps by race day on the better side of heavy or the worse side of soft. Is that going to add to your confidence or detract?
Rose Hill, I should say, tends to play quite well on the wet track. The rail position's always important there, so it's in the true position that should give those up in the pace a big advantage. I think Rose Hill as a rain-affected track plays quite fairly. Not quite the same can be said for Randwick, and we did see last week they make a big line for the outside fence, and hopefully that track is in tip-top order for the big championships coming up. I guess the inside part of the track didn't get used all that much last week.
Okie dokie. Well, we'll get to Rose Hill shortly. We'll take you through all the black type on Super Saturday at Flemington first, and we start in race three. That's the Incognitus Stakes, 1,100 metres for three-year-olds at listed level.
I'm with Maddie here. This horse has performed quite well from a brief career, has had three starts and has won all of them. The first up win last start at Moonee Valley was quite impressive. It sat just off them and won narrowly, but it did do the job quite well, and it's going to get a lovely run here in Barrier 4. And I think it's going to be prominent throughout and be hard to beat from two Ken's Dream, who we haven't seen since contesting the Blue Sapphire back in the spring. It does have to carry a fair bit of weight, but does have a bit of quality. Third, I've put in number four, Barcelona. This horse, a little bit disappointing two starts ago. I didn't mind the effort last time, though, behind Dance with Fontaine. It pretty much held its ground with the winner. And I think Barcelona is capable of a better showing. And Villarosa in for fourth, lightly raced filly.
Ken's Dream for me, number two, reappearing. Looked like he could have been anything early on and then just had a couple of defeats, but they've formed from that, stacked up pretty well. Just a nose behind Ben's and then quite close up behind Flying Artie in that Blue Sapphire. So number two for me to beat seven, Perpetual Crisis. 13, Clockwork Orange, and 6, Matty. Race 4 at Flemington, the MSS Security Size Produce Stakes for the two-year-olds, stretching out to 1,400 metres at Group 2 level.
Yeah, Estrak's going to be pretty hard to beat, but I don't think he appeals at the price. He's obviously well-found in betting on the strength of his three consecutive wins. I've just gone with 5 Ground Break on an each-way basis. Always shown ability before the debut and finished second behind Veronillo, who's a leading contender for the Golden Slipper. And then resumed with a nice effort, I thought, over 1,100 metres in the Talon Dirt behind Ducimus. Ground Break by All Too Hard. The horse won the Size Produce. It was probably one of his first major wins in his career. And I think Ground Break just shapes as a horse that's going to get better as he gets over further out of the mare Booklet, who was a nice performer for Alvin Zara, I think was a stakes winner at 1,400. So I'm expecting Ground Break to run a nice race ahead of Estorac. Third, I've put in number one, Aspect, who ran some slick closing sectionals in the Blue Diamond despite finishing ninth. And then for fourth, number nine, Black Sail, who were well-bred, related to Claire Big Bang. That was the good horse of Philip Stokes.
Yeah, Guineas.
The Guineas Prelude winner. And nice run on debut.
Colesberg for me, number two. Just had two starts in Sydney on a heavy track, just on heavy tracks and track bias against him last time, but just on a bit of spec, David Payne bringing Colesberg down for this race. From one aspect, so it's two Colesberg to beat, one aspect, four Ace High, 11 undoubtable miss. Yeah, just leaving Ashtarak out of that price, just coming off the midweek form.
Yeah.
Race 5, TAB CUNY Stakes, Group 2 for the 3-year-old fillies over 1,400 metres.
I've always been a fan of Oregon's Day, this campaign, and hopefully this weekend is the day for her. First up run was great in the Kevin Hayes. She just got back from that wide barrier and she really hit the line hard. And again, last time, just had to get a little bit too far back. They ran along in the lead they carved out, good time. They broke 1:23 for the 1,400. And her effort was huge. She got loomed up to them, but the effort to sustain the run just told late. Draws better here and hopefully can settle just that little bit closer and won't have to use up as much energy to getting to the leaders. And under those circumstances, I've got ahead of two, I'm a Star, who is the one to beat. She's well weighted up and looks really well placed against her own age group and gender. Third, I've put in number three, Ali Kazoom, who ran a really nice race in the Angus Armanasco. And for fourth, number four, Kid Edna.
Yeah, I am a Star for me, the Group 1 winner on level weights with all the rest of them. The nice barrier gets a few ticks. Number two from eight, Fragonard, three, Ali Kazoom, and one, Flying Jess. Race 6 at Flemington on Saturday, Schweppervessen's Trophy for the fillies and mares over 1,600, a Group 3.
Alaskan Rose on top for me. I'm surprised at her price. She opened up around about 40-1. Now she's into 25. I still think that's a little bit generous. I think probably $13 to $15 is her right price. She draws a wide barrier here, but that's not a worry. She'll get back and she'll run on. Her first up run was great over 1,200 metres. I'm willing to forgive the last up run, the mannerism. She just was three back on the fence. She got a bit lost. She wanted to lay out a lot, perhaps feeling the firm track at Caulfield as well. Look, she's not going to get any given the ground at Flemington on the weekend. There's no rain forecast, but I think the big open spaces, she might be able to let down and quicken a bit more comfortably. And she did run third in this race last year as a three-year-old filly, so with a season of more racing under her belt, she should be a little bit more mature. Got ahead of number... what have I got in for second? Number two, Abby Marie, who's also entered for Sydney's Cornwall Classic. Third, number four, named Pure Pride. Well, she's a $5 chance in this race, and, you know, I guess earlier in the season, she was always starting longer odds than that, so a bit poisonous to take such a short quote. And for fourth, number 15, Sebring Dream, a really good first up winner against the tempo. She's a filly going places and might be the value runner in this race as well.
Abby Marie for me, assuming she's coming here rather than Sydney. Number two, looking for this 1,600 metre distance, I think, from nine, Circular for Godolphin and the Magic Man. Five, Manageress, and seven, Domino Vital, 2,957 for me. The first of the big ones, race seven at Flemington on Saturday, Lexus Newmarket Handicap, worth $1.25 million. And it is a Group 1 handicap over 1,200 metres.
Yeah, Star Turn on top for me. As I said, just these three-year-olds get really well weighted in the Newmarket. And I thought the first up effort in the Lightning was quite good. Dwayne Dunn criticised widely for his ride on Star Turn, but I had no issue with it whatsoever. The stable told him to ride Star Turn with a sit. And I guess with all those scratchings at the barrier, the pace kind of came out of the race more than originally anticipated. But really, the key about Star Turn is getting him to settle, getting him to switch off and then finish off. And they tried to do that in the Lightning, and it didn't so much backfire, but, you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing. But they might have just made him into a racehorse through those tactics. And over the 1,200 metres, barrier 11, he'll sit just off them. I think he'll be finishing very strongly at the end. So got him ahead of number two, Spieth, who obviously beaten narrowly in the past two Group 1s, the Daly Classic and the Lightning, 55.5, but you know, he's got a lot of quality. For third, number eight, six, Extreme Choice, who is another three-year-old in the race and really caught the eye late in the Oakley Plate. And for fourth, number eight, Tavachi. That horse won the Kensington Stakes first up of 1,000 metres. He's probably better over slightly further than 1,200 metres, but the stables kept him up on the fresh side and he won a jump out last Friday at Werribee.
I, like you, have gone with the Lightning form, and indeed top three finish in the Lightning or the Oakley. In fact, no, sorry, top six finish in the Lightning or the Oakley Plate has provided the last 10 or 11 Newmarket winners, as you can read in this week's Best Bets and Winning Post. Star Turn, I made my best number 9 to beat 2 Spieth and 1 Terra Vista. So the it's the Lightning trifecta in reverse order. And for fourth, I've got the Oakley Plate winner, Scheidel. And that'll add to your confidence, Carl, me tipping Star Turn. Because, you know, I think, I reckon that I've tipped the winner of every Group 1 race in Melbourne in 2017 so far.
Have you checked? Or you just, is it a gut feel?
Well, I haven't gone back and checked, but I'd certainly tipped Blackheart Bart both times. I tipped Haydock last Saturday. Yeah. I tipped Terra Vista in the Lightning.
The Coolmore winner? Coolmore winner there was Flying Arby.
Yeah, I reckon I tipped Flying Arby.
Yeah. Well, that might be a bit of a project. I mean, you...
Oh, hang on. No. 2017, Carl. Not the entire season.
Sorry,
I'm just saying 2017.
Sorry.
All right.
Well, that's not so good.
I didn't tip Flying Arby. Did not tip Flying Arby. Race 8 is the other Group 1. It's the TAB Australian Cup. And this is 1.5 million, 2,000 metres, stand and weight for age. And it's an intriguing contest.
It is. And I think Exoferic is a bit of a forgotten horse in this race. I mean, he made his Australian debut by finishing third in the Caulfield Cup with 55.5 kilos. And I thought that effort had plenty of merit. And, you know, then he ran eighth in the Melbourne Cup. He resumed the other day with a midfield finish in the Peter Young. But he was only beaten a length and a half from the winner Stratum Star. And, you know, Exospheric is going to be better second up to the 2,000 metres. He's closing sectionals in that Peter Young were outstanding. And, yeah, I've got him on top and with a bit of confidence as well. Maybe my best bet of the day. Ahead of Humidor, who's obviously gifted but does a lot wrong in these races. And Darren Weir has elected not to put any gear on him, which might just be the difference between victory and defeat, but he obviously knows best. For third, number 3, the United States, who ran well in that Peter Young first up. And for fourth, the Caulfield Cup winner, number 11, Jamaica.
Yeah, Humidor for me, hoping he can put it all together. Number 10 from 3, the United States, very, very classy animal. 11, Jamaica. And 1 Stratum Star. And that wraps up the black type from Flemington. My best was race 7, number 9, Star Turn. My value bet coming up in the last, which we haven't covered, not that much value either. In fact, $4.60 favourite. That's number 12, Rocket Tommy.
Yeah, Carl. Well, 3 people have made it their value bet, probably anticipating it to start at a good price, and it just hasn't. But, best bet for me, Exospheric, race 8, number 6, value bet, race 6, number 8, Alaskan Rose.
Alrighty. Rosehill Gardens is the venue for Sydney racing on Saturday. As I mentioned early, keep your eye on the weather and your various racing media outlets for an update. We've got a heavy 9 at the moment, but just showers, nothing serious between podcast recording time and Saturday, so you'd think heavy 8, soft 7 most likely. Black type starts in race 2. It is the Smooth FM Morris McCartan Stakes over 1100 at group 3 level.
Palazzo Publico on top for me. First up win the last prep over the 1100 metres against Mares at listed level. And this is not overly strong. I mean, it's up against the males, but no reason why Palazzo Publico, with the benefit of a couple of trials, can't knock these over first up. And she's really well weighted as well with 53.5. So got her on top from 1 Dothraki, 3 Artistry, who may need further, and 2 Baller Muscle, who's probably in the twilight of his career.
Race 3 at Rosehill Gardens on Saturday. Cafe Culture plus In Situ. Pago Pago Stakes, 1200 for 2-year-old colts and geldings. Group 3, last chance for a slip of ticket.
Tricky race. I've gone with 8 Shoe, but this horse ran second on debut behind horse number 4 in this race, Album. And I just thought Schubert had the tougher run, sat outside the lead, and just was stalked by the winner, and ultimately had to settle for second. But I think can turn the tables. Got it ahead of number two, Single Bullet, who placed at all three starts, shows plenty of ability, has exposure to rain-affected ground. No doubt will be better on top of the surface, but still can get through it. For third, number one, Deucimus, who is unbeaten from two starts, the sale topper from last year's English Premier Sale in Melbourne, and has plenty of ability. And for fourth, I've put in number three, Coruscate.
Race four, the Chandon S Magic Knight Stakes, is the fillies division, also a group three over 1200 metres. And talk me through this, Carl. You and several others enthusing about the chances at level weights of a horse whose only appearance saw her unplaced in a midweek maiden. Steps up to a group three here, fairly impressed by the trial in between, apparently.
Yeah, well, I didn't... the first I saw of Elsie was that trial, and it was just unbelievable. It jumped a half length clear of all the other opposition. It was throttled by Brenton Abdullah. It settled probably sixth in the field. Wasn't released by Brendan Abdullah until the top of the straight, not even nudged along, and it just motored to the line, and it won the trial in the last try. That was incredibly impressive. And then I looked at the form of this horse and figured out it's the half-sister to Astern, and then went back and saw the debut defeat, and it was just a horror show with $1.75. So draws barrier four, William Buick aboard, got the pedigree. Apart from being a half-sister to Astern, the mare was a bit of a freak, Essaouira. It was raced by Darley. Lee Friedman trained it. I remember it winning by six lengths on debut at Mooney Valley. A really good mare. And yeah, I think she's going to be awfully hard to beat from one Tulip, who's got the form on the board and is a great measuring stick. And equally, number 15, La Chicha Rosa. This horse was jumping out really well prior to its luckless debut defeat at Mooney Valley, and it wouldn't surprise me to see her put her best foot forward. And then for fourth, number four, Limbo Soul, who was backed in from $21 into $3.80 when winning on debut. So there might be a bit of depth to this race, the fillies division, but yeah, quite keen on Elsie.
Race five at Rosehill Gardens on Saturday, McGrath Estate Agents Sky High Stakes, a 2,000 metre grid three.
Tapio on top, number three. I thought the run first up was good, and the chipping Norton, in many ways he exceeded expectations. He clearly handles heavy ground, and maybe a few others in the race didn't, but he's on track for a nice run here. Got him ahead of the odds on favourite Antonio Giuseppe, who trolled up really well before the first up victory. He's the obvious danger. Third, number two, Magic Hurricane, and for fourth, number four, Who Shot the Barman. But I think it's a race between the top two, Tavigo and Antonio Giuseppe.
Race six, Celebrations Farlap Stakes, 1500 for 3-year-olds at Group 2 level.
Fox Play for me, number nine. This horse got way too far back last start, but in fairness to the jockey, Tommy Berry, the horse wasn't travelling on the heavy nine early. He just tried to get her comfortable, and in doing so, she just got way too far out of her ground. But she finished off nicely. She was beaten just over four lengths by the winner, but still ran fourth, and in all things considered, it was a pretty decent effort. So Fox Play now, not going to the Coolmore Classic, stays up against her own agent Sex, and I think is hard to beat from number two, Beazle. 14, Dawn Wall, who's also entered for the Kembla Grange Classic on Friday. And then for fourth, number 13, Xenolicious.
Speaking of the Coolmore Classic, it is race seven, the group one for fillies and mares over 1,500 metres, worth 600,000. And 19 to face the starter, Carl. So plenty of value, you would think, unless, as you have noted in this week's winning post, Oh My Sword happens to win. And Oh My Sword is the most favoured in the eight-person winning post tips panel, but only one of the eight has tipped her on top.
Yeah, and I guess we're all respecting her, but she's quite sure that the two, the one... And equally, I'm a little bit surprised that I'm the only person to put Euro Angel in my top four, but it's that sort of race. There's plenty of chances. And she's 20-1 Euro Angel, and she's on the front page of this week's winning post. It's probably the first time in a long, long time we've had a 20-1 shot on the front page. And to be brutally honest, if you gave me $6 or $7 about Euro Angel, I would have happily taken it. She's only missed a place once from eight starts. She's well credentialed. She's always measured up to this sort of grade. Her first up run was really good when second behind In Her Time, who led throughout. Your Angel draws favourably in barrier two, has great form on wet tracks, and yeah, I think she's going to be pretty competitive, but hard to be completely confident in a field of 19 fillies and mares. So ahead of Omai Sawdin for second, for third number 15 Abby Marie also entered for Melbourne, and for fourth number 19 Shillelagh.
Race 8, the Highland Race Colours Ajax Stakes, is the last of the black type events. This one is a Group 2 over 1500, and it does look quite a nice event for He's Our Rocky.
Yeah, perfectly placed here. First two runs this campaign have been at Group 1 level at weight for age, and hasn't been too far away, but just not quite up to that mark just yet. Drops back to handicap conditions, steps up to the 1500. Third up, handles right-handed racing quite well, is a multiple stakes winner in Sydney, and looks the one to beat from five, Zibiani, who always seems to find something better. No knock on the horse, but yeah, might have to settle for second again behind the stable mate. For third number one, it's Somewhat, who resumes here and will only be better over a bit further. And then for fourth, number 11, Floodlight, but yeah, there's a bit of a gap back to fourth. I think Floodlight's going to need a lot further than 1500 before we see his best.
All right, the main action in Adelaide is on Monday.
We should just quickly give the best and value there. Best is He's Our Rocky, and the value there is Euro Angel. So we'll just flick over to Adelaide right now.
Yeah, and they're racing on the Parks track on Saturday. The main action, of course, is on the main track on Monday. Did you bring the Monday?
I didn't, but I know what I do like off the top of my head, so that does help.
All right, are you going to be able to get races and numbers for them? I can just as easily duck out. I probably will do that. While you're ranting on about you missed this best bet at Morphettville Parks, must be an absolute certainty because it's in race one.
Yeah.
Which is most unlike you.
Yeah, absolutely most unlike me. This best bet here, Plutocracy, is the...
Plutocracy,
I should say. Race one, number three. It's a two-year-old over the 1,100 metres, trained by David Ben Hayes and Tom Dabnig. A really nice horse that jumped out at Werribee last Friday morning. It was ridden by Mark Zara. It settled last in a six-horse field. And under absolutely no urging from Mark Zara, just picked them up quite easily through the inside of runners and won quite well. So you've got to really respect what it did, and looks well placed here in this race in Adelaide. So I've got it on top as my best bet. My value selection comes up in race 8. That is number 11, A Clear Attack. This horse is third up from a spell. I thought the last start effort was quite good. It got back in a genuinely run race, A Clear Attack, over the 1250 on the Parks track, and finished second behind Baker's Dozen. So I think A Clear Attack is one to take notice of later in the day. And yeah, pretty good meeting as well. I wonder what sort of price we're going to get at number 14, Voyant, in race number 3. It's run last time at Yarra Glen, although fourth, and Yarra Glen form is generally considered inferior. I thought that run had merit, so hopefully we get a good price about Voyant in race 3.
In Brisbane, they are racing as Doomben. Your best takes us to race 4, where Bjorn Baker has a runner here, number 2, Shock Alert.
Shock Alert won his maiden in record time at Hawkesbury over 1,600 metres. That was a really impressive performance. Shapes is the type that's going to eat up this extra distance, a son of shocking. And yeah, might be a Queensland Derby contender later in the season, who knows. But really talented, this horse, Shock Alert. The value bet comes up in the last race. It's race 8, number 4, Fortini. This horse first up got back and found the line nicely over the 1,000 metres before breaking through second up at the 1,200. Stays at 1,200 here, third up, and Shapes is getting a lovely run just off the speed here, Fortini. Won't get too far back, and I don't think there's too many chances in this last race. The same cannot be said for that seventh race. That is just a horror show, that seventh race, and if you pick up this week's best bet, winning post, you will see that I've nominated the field as the leg of the quaddy, the third leg of the quaddy there at Doomben. It's a really tricky race.
Indeed. Later in the day, they are racing at Ascot in Perth, and at 8:05 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, there is a listed race. It is the World Plumbing Day. Who knew that? Well, plenty of publicity for International Women's Day. We didn't know it was World Plumbing Day coming up.
Put your washers out.
It's the J.C. Roberts Stakes. 1,800 for three-year-old colts and geldings. And so a derby lead-up. And happily, Carl, your best bet on the program comes up here. That's race 7, number 5, Final Salute.
Final Salute. Didn't have all that much luck first up over the 1,400 at Ascot, but was a nice performance getting home into third behind Gangbuster, who is the top weight in this race. I think it can turn the tables with the distance and also a slightly better run in transit. Willie Pike replaces Chris Parnham on Final Salute. Of course, Willie Pike riding for the Peters family in this race. My value bet comes up in the race prior. That's race 6, number 4, Politics. This horse has been placed at both runs this campaign. I'd like the effort last weekend when getting back from the wide barrier and only beaten a length and a half by Foreseen. Should just only needs to really reproduce that run to be fighting at the finish again.
Earlier across the Tasman, they are racing at Ellerslie where the carnival continues, and there's three Group 1 events here and plenty of coverage in your winning post. Again, we've got fields, we've got form for the Wait for Age and for the Auckland Cup. Talk us through your thoughts on Ellerslie, Carl.
Yeah, good meeting, plenty of depth, and starting with the Group 1 Diamond Stakes, that's race 7 for the two-year-olds. I've gone with number 2, Summer Passage. Zach Purden making the trip out to New Zealand, out to Auckland to ride Summer Passage, and it was a really good last start winner. Probably will start fairly short in betting. I don't expect it to start too long in betting. Zach Purden riding for those connections who owned Photon Willie, Chussel Bow, all those horses in the green and red chevrons. So got it ahead of 1 Felton Road, 8 Gold Fever and 9 Princess Rihanna. In the New Zealand Stakes, the Group 1 Wait for Age race, well, it's hard to go past Kawi. He's been the benchmark at Wait for Age level in New Zealand for such a long time, and this looks ideal for him. Got him ahead of number 10, Sophia Rosa, who's third up and getting out to the 2,000 metres. Should run an improved race. Third, number 2, Vokstock and Barrel. And for fourth, number 3, Benzini, who's having his first run after finishing sixth in the Hong Kong Vase, which was a surprising effort, I guess. Most of us expected Benzini to finish down the track, but it certainly surprised a few. And the Auckland Cup, really good race this one. Plenty of chances. And I like one right down the bottom, Snow Secret, number 18. This horse draws well in barrier 5, and that's perfect for Snow Secret. It's just going to be positioned and put to sleep on the fence. It'll drop out to the second half of the field. She's got a wonderful turn of foot, Snow Secret, and relishes rain-affected ground. So Snow Secret on top from Fanatic, number 14, a talented 4-year-old mare, 7-5 to Midnight, and 15, Chenille. But aside from that, Leather Rips, my best bet of the day, race 6, number 9, a horse that we know a little bit about in Australia, ran in the Bendigo Guineas as an unplaced horse, but has certainly turned its form around of late and doesn't look out of place in the Group 2 race on Saturday.
All right, well, it is a massive long weekend of racing. That wraps up Saturday, but we start, of course, in winning post, as always, on Friday. And a big meeting again at Cranbourne on Friday night. A big meeting at Kembla Grange on Friday as well with the Nolan Classic, the Group 3. We go through our usual brilliant Saturday coverage. Then on Sunday, 4 more meetings covered in full, and fields for the rest. And those meetings that we do cover in full, of course, include Mildura Cup and Stony Creek Cup Day and Wellington Boot Day, which is a massive meeting, 140-odd acceptors. And then Monday, more action on Monday. Can't give you Moonee Valley, unfortunately. Doesn't accept till Friday. All your cards, letters and phone calls to Racing Victoria's Racing Department, please. So that's not in the winning post, but everything else is. We got fields for Hawkesbury, for Eagle Farm, and fields and cup form for the big meeting at Morfordville. So do make sure that you pick up your winning post as early as you possibly can. First thing Friday morning, it's out everywhere. If you happen to be in the Melbourne CBD, you can pick it up on Thursday afternoon. But that will last you right through to Monday. Finally, Carl, our best $20 bet of the weekend. Well,
we should actually mention our selections at Morfordville.
Oh, we should indeed.
Yeah.
What am I talking about? So,
after that,
let's rock on to Morfordville, where there's plenty of good racing. And what do you got for us in the Adelaide Cup and elsewhere.
Well, best bet of the day, we'll start with race 8, number 2, Burning Front, a horse that really doesn't need too much of a description. We all know how he just racks up the wins. He's in career best form. He tackles the CSA's Memorial Cup over the mile. Probably his pet distance, and there's nothing in the race that's going to prevent him from winning, I think. So he's my best bet of the day. Darabad in the Adelaide Cup is my selection. I've made him my value bet as well. It's his first run in Australia. Look, I don't think he's a champion by any stretch of the imagination, but he doesn't need to be going close in the Adelaide Cup. And Robbie Lang, he's aims him first up at this race, the Adelaide Cup, and he's given him a few trials on the same day as well, just earlier this week. His French form is sound without being anything special, but he's only had 7 starts and has plenty of scope for improvement. Barrier 1, Noel Callow, just 55.5 kilos. He's 2.5 kilos underneath the top weight, so it is a compressed weight scale. But Darabad should get every possible chance in that Adelaide Cup, and a pretty good support card, it must be said, too.
All right, well, that does bring us... I need to do a running sheet for this, don't I? That does bring us to the... best $20 bet of the weekend, and look, my fabulous winning streak of 5 in a row is now a fragrant memory. 2 defeats, admittedly. Placings, Rising Romance wasn't too far away, just needed another 100 metres or so. And what am I going for this week? Well, Star Toon is my best at Flemington.
I'll chip in with He's Our Rocky in Sydney, race 8, so that's Rosehill race 8 number 3, He's Our Rocky, 20 the win.
And I will go, I'll stick with Star Turn, which is race 7 at Flemington, number...
Is it 8 or 10? No, it's number 10, maybe.
Star Turn is number 9.
Number 9.
So you're all around it, pal. Have a great weekend, everybody. We're pleased to say Joel will be back next Thursday on the Preview Podcast. Back plenty of winners, and have a great weekend.